Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome, everybody, into the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show on the Overreaction Sports Network. My name is Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. And yes, I don't have much of a voice. I'm working through a little bit of a sickness, and they always attack my throat, but I'm here. You're here. Jerry's here. John is here. We're all here. And the Buffalo Bills don't have a first round draft pick.
Unbelievable.
the only person that's not here is the Buffalo Bills first round draft pick.
But, oh my God. Maybe they were just trying to save money on fuel for the private jet, right? You fly the second rounders in, you know, commercial or something.
Yeah. So a lot happened in this draft. It was kind of boring at first, but there were some surprises throughout the whole thing. But yeah, real quick. I mean, I've got notes here as far as kind of what happened, but just real quick takes, thoughts, Jerry, John, what do you guys got?
Well, first of all, as the draft was going on, I thought it was falling perfectly for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought that there's
totally,
you know, still, guys,
it still may be falling perfect.
Yes, it still may be falling perfect. There's one bright light. There's one light at the end of the tunnel after day one of the 2024 draft, and that is obviously the accumulated extra picks that the Bills got as a team moving into day two and day three. Now, we pick up a third-round pick from the trade at 28. I haven't seen the official mention yet of the compensation for picking or for moving out of round one.
My understanding is they basically go to the first pick of the second round. They're going to 33. They're going from 32 to 33 is what I believe is happening.
So when you go to 32 to 33, now the guy at, okay, let's dive into the wide receiver deal.
Hold on. My reaction to the draft so far, since you skipped me, Jerry-O, price per pound, baby, offensive tackles. I mean, O-line dominates the first round. That is so cool.
Offensive players dominate the first round. Yes. First time ever in the history of the draft.
O-line dominates. Seven offensive linemen. That is smoke.
Yeah, to Jerry's point, 14 offensive players went in a row. Six in the first 12 were quarterbacks. Three were wide receivers, but it was 14, which is an NFL record. No time in any stretch of any draft at any point. One rounds one through whatever they used to be, did 14 offensive players or one position, sorry, one side of the ball go at like in a row. So that's a record.
It's an arms race, baby. Go ahead, Jerry.
Got to look at, and our friend Penn Plays put it up and said it so well. We could easily end up with four or five of the top 100 picks.
Yes,
in this draft, which just goes to show you that Brandon Bean, as much as, and of course, Leggett seemed to be the guy that he was kind of going after, had private workouts with him, top 30 guy. He gets picked by the Panthers with the 32nd pick that we trade. Both trades we gave up, both spots we gave up. Wide receivers were picked in those spots. But you have to look moving into day two. There's still a ton of wide receiver value there. Franklin at Oregon. You got the guys from Florida State. You still got Ladd McConkey sitting there. We do hold the first pick of day two. The elephant in the room, and it's not me, the elephant in the room, you got Cooper DeJean sitting there, available the first pick around two, a guy that we've been told by a lot the Bills are enamored with. So
yes,
I think you really, as much as the shock of not having a first round wide receiver or even moving up, you've got to look at the picks they've acquired and the firepower they got going into day two and day three. I think it kind of lands pretty good for the Bills right now.
Yeah.
Well, I agree, Jerry, especially when you look at the holes. You know, everybody's got to take, whether it's safety or defensive end or wide receiver. And now they just accumulated all these picks to load up on what is a pretty deep draft at wide receiver. So you go Cooper DeJean tomorrow, first pick, and you still have a variety of receivers to choose from because you've amassed a number of picks. I mean, is it 3D chess? I know everybody loves the romance of a first-round pick, but we need to do everything we can to balance out all the needs across the roster. And I think that was the goal. And, I mean, hell, I've never seen it achieved so well.
Yes. So my first thought when the Bills traded 28-32, I was like, oh, so this is what it's going to feel like to win the Super Bowl and draft, like, because we're drafted last. And right. they couldn't get there. They had to move that pick. It was like, yeah, we just can't do that. A little bit of weirdness for me, and a lot of people were in my mentions and actually in my DMs as well about the fact, and my text started blowing up, the fact that we not only traded 28-32, but we did it with the Chiefs, and then they went and they took the fastest guy to ever run at the combine in NFL history. Where does that kind of leave you guys? I know that Joe Marino talked heavily about Worthy, and he was like, you really want to spend a first-round draft pick on a guy that weighs 160 pounds? But when you watch this kid play, when you see his breaks and his moves in and outs and the routes he runs, yes, he could potentially be a little fragile. It might not take much for
right.
a big corner, a big safety to get on him and hurt him. But, man, that's tough. We could feel this one for a couple of years, I guess.
That's my one doubt. That's my one disappointment. I don't want to do anything to help Kansas City. We right. already did it once. We gave right. him Mahomes, and now we're going to give him another weapon that's Tyreek Hill-like. Right. We have issues beating him in the postseason now, and we're giving him more weaponry. Now, granted, you have to figure Rice is going to be on a league suspension for a while, maybe the season, so you won't have him, but – yeah, that's my biggest disappointment. When you're helping the Kansas City Chiefs get better, I have issue with that. But when I look at how things go and the swapping of the picks and stuff, you know, I don't mind. And by the way, when people questioning if we had a third rounder, what's, you know, third round, there's 32 teams in the league. So if you take that times three, that's
like 120, right?
96, right? So 95 would be at the end of the third round. So
yeah, there you right. go. But well, we are at 33, 45, and 95 per, I believe, Michael, or he has a question mark at 45, but I think that's accurate. 30 somewhere, yeah, but that's probably close.
So I have a slightly different take on it. You know, it looks like we helped the Chiefs, but you know, we beat them in the regular season, right? Pretty consistently. The playoffs, we have not. I get that. I rewind the clock to last year, and it wasn't for lack of offensive weapons. It was attrition. It was defensive injury. So, you know, I'm not saying that they outplayed us. I'm saying that we had to play a certain type of game because of the injuries that we had. So I don't look at it that way. I think it's a deeper strategy, and I'm not going to look at a guy like Xavier Worthy and say I'm anointing him a Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is. He's a pretty thick dude. He's short, right. but he's strong. So,
right.
you know, everybody has a gut reaction. I try not to, and no, I just have a different take.
Well, who I like him to, and I the names, of course, slips off the top of my head, but the Alabama receiver that the Eagles took a few years ago that they just extended, the very, very slight receiver. They
from the Eagles?
Yeah, the Eagles took him. His name slips my mind. That's who he kind of – he's very small, under 200 pounds, a slight guy.
I know who you're talking about. He's around the same
exactly.
size.
Exactly. Smith.
Not Devontae Smith.
It's Smith, though.
Is it Devontae Smith?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, the thing that I look at is when you have a team that's cap-strapped, and the Bills are cap-strapped, we don't want to admit it, but we are. You're not going to go out and sign a bunch of free agents to fill these spots. You got to right. manage your money. Right. So stockpile picks and get players that are cheaper and players that you can, you know, have some upside that you can tie up for a little bit that way, right. get younger and build your base back up. So in a, what we called reboot or reload, not a rebuild, what happened today does make sense.
Totally. And, you know, I couldn't agree more. You know, you got to fight the cap as well as fighting to keep the, you know, your marquee players, and somehow, some way it strikes, you got to strike a balance. And with the cap hit that we take with Stephon Diggs, if you want to look further and go further, then you have to make these decisions. And I think it's just a hell of a smart play. And I keep going back to the depth in this draft at so many positions, and to be able to load up like that, it seems smart.
Yeah, agreed. It's interesting to see how when the draft started, you know, that there was a lot of like everybody wants a wide receiver. And a lot of our talk this week has been around wide receiver. A lot of everybody's talk has been wide receiver. Nationally, it's been wide receiver. It's been wide receiver since the season ended. And then with Diggs being traded, it just escalated and kind of went through the roof. Now, we don't know what they're going to do with 33. However, as Jerry said, we've been reporting here just what we have heard out of One Bills Drive, that they're enamored with Cooper DeJean. And it's interesting to see as the draft went on and kind of got us to where we are now, people are kind of coming around to this idea of, wait a second, maybe we can get this stud kid that the Bills are in love with and follow it up with like the receiver we want as well. Nobody knows who's going to be there. Obviously, would the Bills pick after 33? They could move out of that spot, right? They could be totally pulling a New England Patriots and drop down another five spots. What's weird about the whole thing is, like, there was no way that I felt the Bills would be picking 10 players. I still don't think the Bills are going to pick 10 players.
Right.
And they've got more picks now. Now they've got their 12. Are they at 12 now? Like, they're not drafting 12 guys, so it'll be interesting.
At least it'll make day two, three, and four a hell of a lot more interesting, won't it?
Very, you know, and here's the other thing, too, is you look at the way this whole DeJean thing fell, and now he's sitting there with round two starting tomorrow evening. If they don't have the onslaught or the tidal wave of offensive draft picks, and if you don't think, you know, it wasn't too long ago when teams were winning Super Bowls, running the football and playing really good defense.
Right.
If you don't think that the passing game and offense has become a major impact in the NFL, look at the way this draft went. And, you know, if you look at how it went, it pushed that defensive talent down. Guys that were probably projected as top half of the draft, you know, draftees are now slipping to 28, 29. And with the cornerbacks being pushed down so far, you know, it moves a guy like DeJean, who's probably a first-round pick in other years, into the second.
Yeah. There's actually three players in particular that are, I would say, coveted players by a lot of Bills Mafia. The center out of West Virginia, right?
Well, Frazier.
Frazier. Obviously, Cooper DeJean, and then Leggett is still out there as well.
No, Leggett went 32nd to the Panthers.
Yeah, Leggett's gone. Yeah,
I was on my way down to the basement.
I think you're thinking about Adonai Mitchell.
Yeah, I was on my way down to the basement. That's why I missed that one. So,
but you got Mitchell. You've got, and we've talked ad nauseum about Keon Coleman. You got as far as highest rated receivers left. You got Ladd McConkey, Mitchell, Coleman.
That's right.
Roman Wilson from Michigan. Ricky Pearsall just went 31st. You got Corley from Western Kentucky. But the guy that I think now becomes the focal point of the Bills in the second round is Troy Franklin. You know, he's a yak guy. He's a speed guy. His quarterback just made a ton of money because of him catching passes, right? They do a lot of stuff behind the line of scrimmage at Oregon. They do a lot of short pass route stuff. Obviously, he can run after the catch. So there are some good wide receivers sitting there to take in round two. The Bills are still kind of really, want your opinion, fellas, they're kind of in the same conundrum that they were in the first round.
It's a little bit clear.
And right. The DB that we want's there and the wide receivers that we possibly want are there. Who do we take?
Yeah, well, I think it'll be interesting to see it kind of how they play it. And on the Troy Franklin piece, that was the guy that RJ Young brought to our attention on Monday with you. He said he was a prolific route runner, can win in man, and that he's incredibly fast, which sounds like something the Buffalo Bills would want out of a wide receiver. It's going to be interesting to see how the whole thing plays out tomorrow. I feel like I'm okay with saying this. The intel that we have also says that the Bills are not interested in Keon Coleman pretty much at all. So if they take him, it'll be an utter surprise, I think, for me specifically, and probably for you guys. But it'll be interesting to kind of see where they go with these picks. What 33? Because once they get 33 done, or that first pick done, I think the picture begins to fill in, right? And then it turns into, okay, we got that guy, and maybe they go center. Maybe they go with the Frazier kid. Nobody's really talking about him. We're not really talking about him. I don't know that I would have a problem if they went center there. Would you have a problem if they went center at 33?
Yeah, I kind of would.
Would you?
I know Jerry likes it a little bit more than I do, but I still lean toward getting a wide receiver. And I know you guys love Cooper DeJean, and you know I'm sort of in that camp. Don't fall in love with players. Fall in love with guys that fit into the system and the need right now. And to me, that keeps saying wide receiver.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing about center, and I think it was Mel Kiper that brought it up on the ESPN draft broadcast. Center has been historically, over the last so many years, the safest position and most productive position drafted in the first round. I think 92% of all centers have hit. It's like 12 out of 13 or something of that nature. So obviously there are some still good, you know, some good ones sitting there. As far as some of the publications that I go to get my draft information, one in particular, they only had four lock first round draft picks at wide receiver: Marvin Harrison Jr., Neighbors, Odunzie, Brian Thomas Jr. were the only they had as sure first round picks. After that, Ladd McConkey and Mitchell were first, second round guys. And then after that, everybody second and third. So it almost sounds to me like, and we talked about this week, and I don't know if you talked with Joe Marino at all, but you pay these scouts and these front office guys all this money, mm-hmm. and they're on the road 280, 290 days out of 365, compiling information and statistics and looking at these guys in live situations. Why are we going to stray from all that work on the first night of the draft in April? I mean, you got to trust your board, right? And yep. them trading out of the first round like that just shows me that they're bored, because Bean had said it himself. They had maybe 28 guys as first round grades. Their board was exhausted for the first round, and they moved back and compiled picks. So, you know, unless a Hail Mary fell in their lap, this kind of seems like it played into exactly what they were thinking from the start.
Yeah, I agree, Jerry. I think, you know, with the quarterbacks going, a lot of offensive tackles going, it pushed people, and I think it played out just into the way we want to look at it: accumulate more picks, drop back into the second round. I don't know that there's another trade yet to come in this draft for the Bills, but by and large, I just think it gives them such a variety of picks. And as to what you said, you pay these scouts, mm-hmm. and you have a different feel for your team, your chemistry, your offensive, defensive philosophy, that a guy might look good to everybody else, but that's not your guy. And you got to trust what they're doing upstairs.
My San Francisco guy just texted me and said that they're actually talking about maybe putting Debo on the market in San Francisco and seeing if somebody's interested in him, and asked me if he thought the Bills would trade for Debo Samuel. I totally think they would, but they don't have the money.
Yeah, it's a money issue for sure. I mean, otherwise, I feel like Brandon Ayuk would have been done by now, potentially to the Bills, right? Mm-hmm. Which Debo is a guy that you probably would prefer to have over Brandon Ayuk. That was the other thing too. We thought we were going to see some wide receiver trades today in this draft, and or some trades, some player trades, and we saw none.
Well, let me ask you this, guys. I want your opinion on this. Does it make you feel good that Brandon Bean stayed patient and probably stayed true to their evaluation board and moved back? Or are you disappointed and you want a general manager that's aggressive and tried to move up into that top 20 to get one of these premier wide receivers and maybe mortgage your future as a franchise?
I can go first on that one. So I would say that I got antsy in that 18 range, and because I didn't want Bean to jump up and reach for somebody he didn't have to reach for, if that makes any sense. So which he's had a propensity to do, and he has said it. He's admitted it as such in the last press conference that he did about the draft. He said, look, if I can go to bed, we talked about it, if I can go to bed on Thursday night and I've got my guy, and I sleep better knowing that I've got my guy versus I waited too long, which I almost wonder if that kind of happened with Brian Thomas Jr. Right. The only guy that I probably wanted aside from Cooper DeJean in the first round was where we were picking. Obviously, if we had a top 10 pick, it'd be different. Was Brian Thomas Jr., because I felt like he was an impact player that could come in and get it. However, with the way that it fell, the fact that he waited, I very much am in the same frame of mind that Joe Marino said he was in, which was let the board, you know, let the draft come to me, which I feel like they did. As long as they maximize those picks, and I'm sorry, John, I'm taking a long time on this answer. As long as they maximize those picks, and here's the thing, the Bills seem to do better in later rounds than they do in earlier rounds as far as impact players go. Yes, I feel good. I feel confident with what they did, allowing the draft to kind of come to them and, you know, trading out of those spots. John?
Yeah, I could say what you said in a much shorter period of time and agree with you. I like it. I like it so much more because it's the anxiety and the excitement of reaching and going after a guy and mortgaging the future. We've already got a future that's mortgaged. Mm-hmm. Making these trades was the smartest way to go, unless the guy that when the draft comes to you is a legitimate first round guy that you have on your board in the top 28 that they said were 28 legit first round picks. So I'm 100% good with that. You got two guys on the phone right now. One of them was a first round pick, and Jerry, I apologize. I don't remember what round you played in, but what round you were drafted in. But I could tell you flat out that I'm not the same player without guys like Jerry, right? I mean, I'm not the same guy without guys like Kurt Schultz. You cobble teams together in every round of the draft, and if you focus just on big name first round, you know, you kind of get caught in a cycle that catches up to you, the salary cap.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm good.
And when you look at Bills, you look at the Bills, they get in salary cap jail. And then at the time before this offseason and the releases started happening, in a lot of spots and kind of as a team, I mean, pretty, you know, an older team in the league with some of the positions and some of the guys there. When you talk about safety, you know, Mitch Morris on the other side of 30, Trey White, some different things. And then you go ahead, you release those guys, and you add a possibility of how many picks, Joe? At least 10?
12.
If they don't trade any away, now you go from a team that's having cap issues that in 2 years the cap issues are cleared up because of smaller salaries of the drafted guys, and now instead of being old, you're pretty young. Mm-hmm. And it kind of all – to me, it's refreshing because Bean, instead of panicking and trying to chase, I think he sees Josh playing for quite a while longer. So they weren't in the situation with Josh where we have to panic and take chances to try to win now because there's only got 2-3 years left. Right. Obviously, we don't know the future with injuries and things like that, but there's still time. And
oh, yeah. And Jerry, I love this comment that Michael just brought up because I was thinking about this too. Trading back out of that first round, you got 24 hours almost to fight it out in the building on who's going to be that you know, round two first pick. And you get the chance to take a deep breath, reassess the entire board, reshuffle it, and start really, you know, because this is the strategy, you have an extra day to really dial it in and stack rank those positions of need with the players that are available. I think it works on the level of winning tomorrow, and I think it works on the level of winning against the cap in a couple of years, like you said, Jerry.
And I also think it says to Brandon Bean in the front office believe that this roster wasn't a couple players away from winning a Super Bowl, that they realized they had some work to do in this reload portion of Josh Allen's career. Mm-hmm. And I think you're seeing it happen before your eyes. That's what you're seeing right now. You're seeing the true reload that will eventually, you know, these are the draftable guys that will eventually be the stars of the future on this Bills franchise.
Agreed, 100%. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out tomorrow. It'll be exciting to see because the Bills went from having one pick to having three now tomorrow. Now, obviously, we had to sit through 4 hours of draft content today, which showed us some surprises. Michael Penix going to the Falcons at 8 was a huge surprise, as we talked about 6 quarterbacks and 3 wide receivers in the first 14 picks that were all offensive players. And then the Jags taking Brian Thomas Jr., jumping up to take Brian Thomas Jr. was also a pretty big surprise. Were there any other surprises that stuck out to you guys besides the Bills stuff before we get out of here?
We could do a whole nother 30-minute show on the biggest surprise going. You sign a guy for $180 million and give him $100 million guaranteed, and you take a 24-year-old quarterback that's got injury history, and now you're going to put him on the bench for 3 years, and he'll be 27 or 28 before he steps on the field?
I don't even get it. I that to me is like, didn't they look at what the Bills did and the salary cap issues they have, and they're just kind of like doubling up at it, except at the same position?
Yeah.
If Penix turns out to be a star, and then you got to let the other guy go, and then you're, I mean.
But think about it, guys. If they wait 3 years, he's 27 years old.
Yeah.
And he'd get 2 years of playing before that would be the fifth year option, his second year.
Right.
And they that could be it.
Right. I honestly believe that was the pick of the first round. That was the biggest head scratcher. But I will say this, I'm excited to finally hand over the mantle for the highest pick offensive lineman from Tucson, Arizona, Jordan Morgan. Congratulations. You are from Tucson and you, you beat me. You're at, was it 25? I'm happy to turn it over to you and Arizona football, baby.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Go ahead, Jerry.
And I also do. I also agree with Eye of the Moment when he said Detroit trading up for Arnold was my favorite move of the night. He looks like a star. I agree with that. I mean, that was big time. Yeah. But again, that was that offensive waterfall, avalanche, tsunami of players that pushed that guy down to where, you know, they could go ahead and trade for him and get him. But yeah, I don't think any other super big surprise. The only thing I want to say is I just hope JJ McCarthy balls out.
So do I.
Yeah. Because if I got to listen to Booger McFarland much longer, I'm going to go crazy.
I like Booger.
The Patriots taking their quarterback of the future in Drake May, and I'm hoping he does not ball out.
I think Drake May is going to go the way of the last UNC quarterback that was drafted high. But a matter of fact, I think he might be on our roster right now.
Oh, all right. Maybe last thing before we get out of here, Joe, it looks like FJ Crociata is in the comments saying we have 10 picks and not 12. We'll fact check you too, FJ, but thanks for joining the show. Like everybody the comments,
they had 10 coming into tonight and they didn't make a pick and they picked up.
All right.
Two. So,
So I'm going to send an insult to FJ right now.
No, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
That's that public school math.
One of us is incorrect. Who knows?
It's Buffalo Bills cap space math. Oh boy,
we're getting requests to be on live tomorrow night after the pick. That might happen. We'll kind of see how it goes. I'm supposed to be on a show at 7:15 tomorrow on Built in Buffalo, so I might have to. I don't know.
I'm a loser. So I'll be here because I'll be home watching the draft because this is a national holiday for me. So you gentlemen go out and do your deal. Frolic.
We can go
I'll just frolic. Come on and talk myself.
We'll did you frolic. Just disinvite me, Jerry? Was I uninvited?
Oh, are you going to be home tomorrow night?
What was that, a non-vitation?
I mean, how many shows have we done where you're on location all the time? John Fina, Flagstaff, Arizona.
I am in beautiful Buffalo. Tempe, Arizona at the Four Peaks Brewery.
Need I say more? Beautiful. This is the point of the show where the punch drunk comes into play and this is going downhill quickly.
ladies and gentlemen, please do me a favor. There's a whole lot of you watching us live right now. And if you're watching us live or you're watching us not live, so later on Friday, please like, please subscribe. So thumbs up, whatever platform you're watching this on, please subscribe as well. We got a lot of good stuff going on. We've brought you really good content all week that the three of us are very proud of. And it may, in fact, probably will continue tomorrow on day two of the NFL draft. But you've been tuned into the Overreaction Sports Show on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. My name is Joe. That's Jerry. That's John. We're just glad you guys are here. What a fun night, right? What a fun night.
Yeah.
Go Bills.
Awesome. Go Bills.
Go Bills, guys. Talk to everybody later. See you.